Heavenly Father, we pray now that as we look at these verses, maybe familiar to some of us, maybe unfamiliar to others, that you would help each of us to understand what we read and what is said, and that we would hear your word this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's sort of still the start of the academic year, and the younger ones, the three younger ones that we have in primary school, will, I'm sure, be making a great start to the academic year. They'll hear the promise of the teacher. Work hard and you will make progress. Work hard and you'll make progress. That's a promise, isn't it? And no doubt, these young ones, as the older ones have done so before, will be working hard, I'm sure, to make a good start to your school year. And I'm sure that the ones that are in sixth form college will be doing the same. And the one that will be going off to university shortly as well, no doubt, will be working hard as well when she gets there. Maybe some of us who have left school behind quite far and are in the workplace. Maybe you know that as well. You know you're about to start a new job and you know, I need to get there, I need to work hard. We know the promise. If you come and work in this job and you do well, you'll gain, you'll get paid. You'll receive your salary. Obviously, if you don't work hard and you don't put in the hours that your boss requires of you, then you'll probably not get a salary. You'll get something else. You'll be shown the door because you've not worked very hard. You're called to respond to the promise, aren't you? You're called to respond. Well, as we look at Abram, who, as if you've read the Bible before, becomes Abraham. Maybe you've heard of Abraham before. He becomes Abraham. His name is changed. But for now, he's referred to as Abraham. And we see in these verses him making a good start in response to God's promise. But then things don't go quite as they should. Last week, we started in our series looking at Genesis 12 to 50. And we covered last week, in summary form, and a few years ago we covered it in more detail, Genesis 1 through to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And those chapters are sort of like an introduction to the book of Genesis, or I suppose an introduction to the whole Bible. They contain key themes: creation, the fall of man, the great flood with Noah, salvation that comes through God's promise, and then the promise made to Abram, in Genesis 12. And now we're starting into these weeks into looking into more detail at the story of Abraham, who he becomes obviously, and his descendants, Isaac and Jacob, and then Jacob's sons as well, as God calls them as his chosen people. And maybe you might be wondering here this morning, you know, why are we studying something that happened so long ago in a place that is so far away from our culture, or maybe the cultures that you've come from? Why are we studying this? It seems so long ago, it's so different. What does this have to do with me? Well, the reason we study these verses is because, in a sense, they're the very first pages of the story that finds its fulfillment in Jesus. And as Christian people here, or maybe if you're not a Christian, you're coming here to find out more about Jesus, this is the very start of the story that points us to Jesus. And also in these chapters, we see wonderful positive and negative models of faith, of what it looks like to be one of God's people, one of the people who trust in the promise of God. So as we look at our verses this morning, we're going to look at them under two headings. You'll find the two headings on the back of the order of service booklet, if you want to, the space for notes there, if you want to take. And the first heading is promise, believe and obey. Promise, believe and obey. That's verses 4 through to 9. Well, what will we do with a promise? When someone's holds out a new job to you, they say, oh yes, you can have this new job in Newcastle or London or Paris, or if you're really fortunate, Glasgow. What do you need to do? Well, you need to go, don't you? You need to sell your house, pack up your stuff, get some movers and go. Or maybe it's a university or school place. Tamsin's going to go because she's been offered a place. A promise was made to her. Come and study here. So she's got to go, well, I've got to go and move there, don't I? I've got to go and relocate my life to go and study at that place of education in London. We've got to take up the promise. We've got to respond rightly to it. And in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, God has made powerful, wonderful promises to Abraham. Let me read those again. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So three parts of that promise there. The promise of a place, land, promise of a great people, and then promise of blessing to Abram first, but then to the whole world, to the whole world. But Abram must go in verse 1. Did you hear that? Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. You got to go. Go from what you know. Go from your family. You've got to go. And that is wonderfully what he does. In faith and obedience, he goes. Not half-heartedly either. Look at verses 4 and 5. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. So everything goes. The wife, the stuff, the slaves, that was the culture back then. They all go. Everybody goes. The brother's son, the nephew. They all go. This is wholehearted, fulsome commitment. But where are they going? Well, they're going to this land, Canaan. And earlier in Genesis, in chapter 9, verses 25 to 26, we read these words about Canaan. Canaan was the son of Ham, who was the sort of rebellious of Noah's three sons, particularly rebellious ones. And we read this about Canaan. So Noah awakes and he says this, verse 26, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be to his brothers. He also said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. So Canaan is sort of like the enemy. It's a cursed place in the line of the rebellious people. And those rebellious people are still there. Look at verse 6. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. But as Abram goes, he's trusting. He's going into enemy land, going into a place that is hostile. But he's trusting the Lord and obeying his call. Now, there's some mention in the verses here about where Abram goes as he travels through Canaan. And basically, just to sort of cut a long story short, he's going from north to south. You might sort of think he's sort of paralleling the River Jordan. He's come round up from Mesopotamia. He's gone up round there and he's coming down through the land of Canaan, through the land that is promised to be his, but is occupied by the enemy. And as he is there, wonderfully, the Lord appears confirming that this is the land. Look at verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So Abram is trusting and obeying. But we also see in verse 7 and then following, that he worships the Lord. The Lord isn't just somebody who sends him messages that he goes and does things. No, he worships the Lord who has called him. We see that he builds two altars, presumably to make sacrifices, the sort of act of worship of those days. And he calls on the name of the Lord. Verse 8, he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And that is language of worship, of prayer, of reliance. So Abram has trusted and obeyed. But interestingly, the promises are not yet fulfilled. But he trusts that they will be. He's going through this land, being told that this is going to be your land, but all these enemies are there. All these other people are there. But he trusts that God's promises will be fulfilled because he has the Lord as his God. And Abram is for us here a wonderful picture of future-looking faith. Let me turn again to those verses from Hebrews 11. I'll read them to you again. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So that's what Abram's doing. He's looking forward to things yet to come, trusting that they will be delivered. And friends, that is the road that we are on as Christians today. We hear the promise in the Bible of life with God forever, of forgiveness of sins, of a future blessing in the new creation. But we don't see these things yet. We see our broken, failing bodies as they get older. We can't see visibly forgiveness. And we live in a creation marred by sin. We don't see it yet. We are sojourners. We are those in a foreign land. We are pilgrims on the way. So we're called to follow Abram, to trust in the promise of the gospel today, to obey the command of the Lord to follow King Jesus, to worship rightly our God, trusting in the promise that it will be fulfilled. If you're a Christian today, here with us, are you doing this? Are you trusting in the promise of the gospel? Are you obeying the command of the Lord? Are you worshiping God with your heart, all your heart, in every aspect of your life and together with God's people? Well, if yes, don't stop. Keep doing it. And if you've dropped the ball on a few of those things, then friends, let me encourage you. Seek forgiveness and strength to change. And if you're not a Christian here today, and if you aren't, you're very welcome here. It's great to have you. This is the call to you today. The gospel of Jesus is clear. We heard earlier on in John 3:16. It couldn't be more clear, could it? But will you trust? Will you believe? Will you obey the call? Let me encourage you that you can do so right now. You can start doing that right this moment. And I'd love to chat to you after the service if you'd like to know more. Well, Abraham starts well, but how does he go on? How does he go on? We'll get to our second heading now. Promise will not fail despite your failings. It will not fail despite your feelings. So you've made a good start. It's the academic year. You've turned up in school. You've been paying attention. You've been doing your homework. You've even been enjoying doing your homework. You want to do more. You turned up in your work. And you're loving the new job. It's great. You're really enjoying it. You're working hard. You find your boss a great person to work with. What next? Is that going to keep going? Are you going to keep loving doing the spelling homework that is sent home from you from school? Are you still going to love getting up at 6:30 in the morning to get to your job? Or are you going to drop back and fail? Well, that's sort of what we see in the next few verses. A failure to trust from Abram. He's hit by a hard situation. Look at verse 10. Now, there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. So like his grandson Jacob and their family, he takes refuge from famine in Egypt. And as he does so, he makes a rather unwise decision. Instead of trusting the Lord for safety in this foreign land, as he's trusted in the Lord for safety in the land of Canaan, trusting the Lord to keep his promise, Abram sort of, I don't know, he freewheels it. He makes it up as he goes along. Look at verses 11 to 13. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, "I know that you're a woman, beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' And then they will kill me. But they will let you live. Say you're my sister, and it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake." Maybe not the best plan, is it? And it seems, as we go on, that he was right, surprisingly. And his ruse has worked. Look at verses 14 to 16. When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. So things seem to be going pretty well. But what's the problem? Well, the problem is this. Sarai, who becomes Sarah in the narrative, is now Pharaoh's wife. She's now Pharaoh's wife. And there's a problem there, isn't there? Because how are Abram and Sarah going to have a great nation from them if Sarah is married to another man? How is that going to work? Because it won't do, will it, if Sarah is with Pharaoh? Well, you sort of think, well, how is God's promise going to happen in this circumstance? Well, the Lord, friends, keeps his promises, doesn't he? His promises do not fail. And his promises stand even with the failings of his people. Look at verses 17 to 20. "But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, 'What is this you've done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, "She is my sister," so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go.' And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had." So Abram had failed. He'd taken matters into his own hands. He hadn't trusted as he should have. It looked like he was putting God's promises in jeopardy. But his failings will not cause God's promise to fail. God's promise will be fulfilled and kept. So although Abram is a good model for us, we can see very clearly here that he's not a perfect model. Sometimes he does good things. Sometimes, not so good. We shouldn't follow Abram in his untrusting behavior. We should trust, not fail. But knowing that we often fail as Christian people, and I'm sure you're like me, that you feel I fail a lot. There are loads of times where I think this past week I've not trusted God as I should have done. Maybe you're thinking of particular moments. Isn't it wonderfully comforting, friends, that even when we fail, God's promise doesn't fail? The Lord's promise is not contingent on my success. God's promises will be kept. He will do what he promises to do. Even if we fail. In fact, God's promises cannot fail. Which, friends, I hope gives you more the reason to trust and obey and rightly worship God. Because God's promises will not fail, even though we fail often. Friends, let me encourage you this morning. Let us trust God's promises to us. Abram trusted God's promise to him. Let us trust God's promises to us today. Let us hear the promise of the gospel of Jesus to us, and let us trust it. Let us obey it. The Christian life, friends, is sort of fairly simple, actually. It's a fairly straightforward, fairly simple thing. God makes a promise to us in Jesus, and he calls us to believe. He calls us to trust, and he calls us to obey and to worship him rightly. Fairly simple stuff. Friends, let us do just that. And let us take wonderful courage and comfort that when we don't do it, when we drop the ball, when we fail, as we often do, God's promises will not fail. And let's get back on the horse and trust him all the more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you help each one of us as we hear your promise, as we hear your call, to trust and obey. To not freewheel it, to not take matters into our own hands, but to trust you and your promises to us. And to take great comfort that even when we fail, as we often do, that you will not fail despite our failings. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.